the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey there, Tom.
Hello, Donald. How's it going?
Fine.
Good, good. Don Patterson's here.
Yes, sir, Mr. Houston.
Good to see you, buddy. And my name's Tom Houston. And here's the creator, and of course the producer.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop with creator.
Uh-huh. I almost did, you know. Phil Parr, ladies and gentlemen.
Does creator appear? It doesn't. Did I put creator on there? That's terrible.
The creator. No, the creator.
You did indeed.
Blind handyman shit. I don't think I wrote that. Did I write that?
You did indeed.
What a self pompous ass I must be.
I was also informed if I was going to stay here, I would read it just the way it was written.
That's the way I wrote it.
Exactly.
Well, we're caught up again. Some of you may have noticed that we were a show. This is show 21. Is that right, Donald Trump?
Yeah, show 21.
Show number 21. And we were a show behind because we had done two shows while those idiots from Dallas were here.
Yeah.
We got caught up because I just got back from a little cruise that I went on. And if you've never gone on a cruise, I recommend them. They're, I don't know, there's nothing to do but eat and drink, which are two of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
There is, of course, gambling on the cruise.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Just amazed.
A casino on a cruise ship.
To be 12 miles out. And casinos on cruise ships, boy, you don't... I had one machine that allowed me to play. I played about an hour on $20 worth of quarters, little three-quarter machine. No, it was a five-quarter machine. And they had nickel slots. I never got that far, but there was a lot of people over the nickel slots playing those.
Oh, yeah, if you messed with the other machine for an hour, that's better than you've done at a land-based casino, huh?
Yeah, you were there the night I lost $400 in one machine, weren't you?
Man, what a deal.
What a deal.
But were you winning or losing when Luann filmed you?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did she send you the pictures?
Yeah, I've got a copy of that.
Oh, she emailed you some pictures?
No, she gave me a disc. You gave me a disc.
That's right. She made you a disc.
It had some movies on it and some pictures.
And some pictures. I'm sure I was losing when them. And we met these really neat folks from Minnesota, Mike and Hazel O'Day. Hazel and Mike O'Day from Minnesota, and we met them the first day we were out, and we just kind of palled around. They went, she's a total, and he's about like you do, Pat.
Okay.
And so we just bummed around with them, and Mike had a good sense of humor. Mike, by the way, is still in big trouble for missed the life jacket drill.
Uh-oh.
He just told him he already knew how. He's telling me he'd already been to one.
So what do they do, confiscate the key to your cabin or something when you do that? Or lock you in your cabin?
They didn't. He just skipped it. Just skipped. Anyway, Mike and Hazel O'Day from, they're right out of, which is what, Minneapolis is the big city? Yeah, Minneapolis. And so we just piled right with them. Anyway, enough about that. If you get a chance to go on a cruise, do it. It's really a neat thing. I think
I bet it is.
There are a lot of things they could do to make them more blind friendly, and so we're kind of talking to the folks at Damar Travel about that. They're my discount. And we're talking, and they've got another one planned for September. They're going to go. I may do this one. It's one of y'all may want to do this one. Some of you. They're going from New York up to Boston. And up to Bar Harbor, Maine, up to Canada, up to Nova Scotia, and back.
Yeah, I think I read about that one on a list, in fact. They're getting ready for it.
And that would be neat, and they're going in the fall, so those of you who can see, the colors would be really neat. Those kind of things.
Oh, the trip would be great.
Would be great. I may do that. I don't know. Anyway, enough about that. We're the Blind Handyman, and we're going to talk about blind stuff, and this, I guess, is our last show before vacation time, huh?
Yeah, before the big hiatus, I guess they call that.
Yeah, Jonathan takes a month off, and nobody else knows how to run the radio station. So I guess Snowbarger's out. He could run it for a month, but I don't know what the deal. Anyway, they're going to take a month off, so that means we get a month off to sort of fall back and regroup and decide which direction we want to take. We've done, I can't believe, 21 of these things.
I can't either. Man, that's just incredible.
21 hours. When you're having fun.
Well, it seems funny because I remember we were talking about sitting at the table, around the table, drinking, talking about
Yeah.
Doing it. Now we've done 21.
You know, it's strange. Well, I tell you how the old memory slips after you turn 60. I can't remember show 20.
Well, you know, but it's been a while since we did show 20. It's been 3 weeks or 2 weeks since we've done
it.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess. Missing last week is kind of
takes care of that.
Kind of odd, but.
So that means that we've got a bunch of email, Thomas.
A blind history. That's hard to believe.
Well, we do have some email here. Yes, we do.
Tons. I saw the postman on the way out.
Yeah. Heavily laden.
A bundle of mail.
Laden down with email.
Anyway. Okay, here we go. It says, December 2nd, liked the show, and Mo came out fine, but the rest, wow. First was overmodulated, and last, there were two shows on top of each other. I know that Mo has a circle cutter, but for small toys, there are catalogs that sell wheels, etc. When our grandkids were small, we wondered about making rockers for rocking horses, and we often thought about making cradles, but never followed up on those projects. I guess why build when one can purchase them, but it is not the same. Take care. Have a great holiday season, and we would like to meet someday, and you can share a cool one with Mo, and this is Bev, I should say, and Mo Serbier in beautiful Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, a golfer's paradise.
Yeah. I will take credit for the distortion. I don't know what I had wrong with the processing that day. But something, I had something, I was clipping too hard or doing something. I'll take credit. But I don't know what the deal was with that show on, where they were running.
When I converted it over, something must have happened there, and I'll take credit for missing the little segment of the show there that happened in, because there was one little area near the end, and it was. I went back and checked it after I read that email, and sure enough, boy, there is one section there that is like doubled over itself or something.
Well, we've got an email here from John Bennett, and he wants to take partial credit for it.
Partial credit.
John Bennett.
God, I hope he's listening.
And naturally, he probably listened in on the distorted show.
Probably did.
Yeah. Well, probably just really ragged me about it. You got some. But, you know, and anybody who listens to this Foods with a Computer, computers just do funny things. I'm you know, you've downloaded files, gone to the Internet and downloaded something and then just couldn't find it.
Oh, sure. I mean, it happens.
It was, you know, where did the computer put that? So
even to an organized person, it happens, huh?
And I was, this album that I just finished, I came out here one day, I was listening to some tracks, and there was about 10 seconds of a guitar track that just wasn't there, that just disappeared. So I had
several college papers that are still wandering around in computer heaven. I don't know where they went.
So computers do funny things. So somewhere between here and there, we got a show on top of each other, but we need to go back and listen to the disc and see if it's like that. If it isn't like that on the original disc, we could resend it.
But we don't save the tape, do we?
We do.
We do. Your DAT?
No, we don't save the DAT, but we save the CD.
I've got it in the computer, both.
I've got all. I've
the ill-fated show number 20, probably.
That was 19. 20 was great.
I've got 19. I've got them all on. I keep them all on the CD. The CD that we did before we converted them. The CD that's just a natural, you know, regular file. I keep it. So anyway, enough of that. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, that's from Michael Reed, and he's offering some help. Remember us talking about sprinklers on one show? Somebody had a question on sprinklers.
Yeah, and we knew nothing about them.
Well, this guy's addressing that on show number 19. It says, "Phil and the guys. I thought I should write, as I believe I can ascertain what the email was referring to that you read on air today regarding timers for sprinkler systems. If the author was referring to permanent underground sprinklers, the controls for them are digital. The day, time, and amount of time the sprinklers will come on and go off for each zone are all controlled via a central control box. There is no sort of external device which can be used to control these settings. I seriously doubt if any blind person could manipulate them. My wife, who is sighted, has a difficult time as it is in setting hours. If the question asked was concerned over having a device which could automatically turn water flow off or on to a sprinkler attached to a hose, then there is a solution. But they do make a remote timer which is attached to your outside water spigot, and then the hose is in turn screwed to it. It is battery operated and opens or closes an internal valve, thus allowing the water to flow or cease flowing.
Yeah.
However, every one of these devices that I have ever seen are also digital. The only suggestion I can make is for them to check out the lawn and garden department in either a Lowe's or Home Depot, But again, my feeling is that they will find nothing currently on the market which they could set. Hope this is of some help. And as always, enjoyed the show, and I agree. And I agree, how about some folks writing in? I know for certain that not every blind person listening to the show knows how to do everything. Suggestions for a show. I'm sure that listeners realize that safety has to be of utmost importance when working power tools. However, perhaps you could outline exactly how the tools are used safely, what sort of precautions should be followed, and other hints and or tricks to make a blind power tool user feel comfortable. This is from Michael D. Reed in Dunedin, Florida.
Good.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
So now we'll have the new from Freedom Scientific, the sprinkler timer. Yeah. Blind-friendly sprinkler timer.
That's right.
You know, it's part with Jaws. You get with your new copy of Jaws, which is priced at $3,000 this year instead of only $1,200.
That's right.
You get the new sprinkler timer instructions on how to. Anyway,
Speaking of Jaws, were y'all aware that they have a professional version as opposed to the home version?
They do.
That's what they're pulling on the college down there. Our Jaws that we have won't work with Windows XP XP Pro, and they said that's because we didn't buy the Pro version.
Yeah, got the home.
Everybody's getting a slice of the pie.
Jaws is the most expensive software program ever known to mankind.
It really is.
Bar none. I don't care what. You know, they're upgrades. What if you, you know, $100 a year for upgrades?
Yeah.
You know, that's outrageous as far as I'm concerned.
When the program is more expensive than the computer,
There's something wrong there. Because, of course, what they're figuring is that public entities buy that, like commissions for the blind and things like that. So let's just charge the heck out of everybody. And, well, us poor blind schmucks who bought our own copies of Jaws are in trouble.
Yeah, well, with the salary we are receiving here.
For doing this blind handyman show. Anyway,
Chuck, that puts a guy kind of up against the wall sometimes.
Freedom Scientific can get mad at me. They've never done me any favors. Of course, they'll probably have me on their list and put me on hold next time I call for tech support.
They'll probably send you a Jaws copy that won't talk.
Phil Barth won't talk. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got over that. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. It says, "Hi, I'm totally blind, and I have been totally blind all of my life, and have been in the automotive industry rebuilding engines, transmissions, differentials, and about everything else in the industry. I be of any use to you and your show?"
You bet.
Absolutely.
That's a rebuild. I just found you a few minutes ago. I was thinking of writing a book about how to do automotive things being blind and wonder if it's been done. Email me and let me know what I might do to help. Thank you. And this is from Richard Brooks.
I will be emailing him, and as far as I know, there's been no book written.
I know.
Do you all know anything about
it? No,
I'd like to talk to him whether he writes a book or not. Just hear how he worked in, I guess I assume, private industry, and that's a...
Yeah, rebuilding.
You know, that would be a real competitive field, even if you could see.
Oh,
and
sure.
I can't imagine doing it, and I have 20/20 vision.
I'm going to email him and try to get him as one of our first guests on the new edition of the Blind Handyman Show.
That's
Yes. All right. Thanks. Good email.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I have been looking for new shows in the archive show area of ACB and have not seen any new shows since show 15.
Oops.
Are you still producing the Blind Handyman Show?
I don't know. Are we?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe we are, but Jonathan's not running.
Let me ask the producer, Phil.
Are we still creating?
I guess they're just not on the archives. I wonder what the deal is.
I don't know.
We'll check on that. But I did respond there to Ray this morning, in fact, and sent a little email saying we're producing, sort of, kind of.
Uh-huh.
We're still doing the Blind Handyman. We were fixing to record, in fact, today. And maybe the archives one day would catch up with us.
Yeah, Ray, if you'd go on at 8 o'clock on Monday night, Central Time, and listen, you'd know these things, right?
Right. Come on.
Okay, he says also that he had thoroughly enjoyed listening to your shows through the archive section and would like to see your work continued. I found your show entertaining and informative. The introduction to the show is one of the best I've ever heard. Now, we've talked about this, guys.
We have.
I see you schmucks.
Yeah.
You
know. That's what I've always said.
Now, what listen to this, Patterson. If you paid attention to the different types of sounds heard, it gave quite an insight to some of the things that a visually impaired person can do.
He must have gone to a school where they rang a bell for him to do everything.
He understood it, huh?
I thought he understood
the concept.
And then he says, I hope you have not ended your broadcast, and if you have, thanks for the shows you produced. And this is from Ray Bean, and this fellow's from Virginia, the state of Virginia.
Well, you know, this is rating season on all the national TV shows. Yeah. I just wonder if we'd been canceled. Maybe we just don't know.
Oh, well, why do we care? We'll keep running. We have to get together anyway.
Yeah.
Ray Strings, brother, there.
But yeah, what a deal.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
Yes, sirree, Bob, sirree. Go ahead.
Kevin Doucet sent us a short little
Kevin!
Email.
Kevin, this is the explosive guy.
Mr. Oven.
This is the guy. Mr. Oven Man.
Do us another clever little promo, and we'll run it when we get back.
Yeah.
Okay, and he says, hi, blind handyman. Right. Just wanted to let you know I added you to my MSN contact list. Let me know if you get this, please.
Okay.
All right.
By golly, Kevin, we got it.
Certainly do that. I guarantee you.
Yeah, do us another neat little clever thing, and we'll run it on our little show. We need all the help we can get.
Another MP3.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Reba.
All right. Wait. We missed an email, didn't we?
No, that's it.
That should about do it.
Wait a minute. What happened to the guy we're going to have on as a guest?
I don't know.
We didn't read his email.
Yeah, what happened to the guy that we're going to have on as a guest?
What was this guy's name?
The guy from Massachusetts. His name is Sawyer.
He was a man from Nantucket.
No, don't say it.
Who kept... Anyway,
we must have read him on an earlier show.
Framingham guy.
Do you think we read? Let's see, what is his name? Let's see if I can get his name. Come up here. Hang on. I got it. His name is.
All right, the guest's name is Frank Sawyer.
There it is, Frank Sawyer.
Do we read his email? When do we read his email?
I don't know, but I didn't have it this week.
How do we even know he's a guest? How do we even know him?
I talked to him today. All right, hang on. Well, I'm Frank on just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute.
Not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
are listening to The Blind Handyman on the ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Thank you, Jack Gardner. Doesn't he have a great voice?
He does.
Well, hello, welcome back to the Blind Handyman Show. Our guest this afternoon is a gentleman who lives in Massachusetts, and we'll find out when and where. His name is Frank Sawyer. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. I can hear good, and I enjoy your program all the time, and I especially like your music.
Like the little music? Well, maybe I'll tell you what we could do. We could just quit talking and play music.
Oh, well, no.
We could.
No.
That wouldn't be any fun with the Blind Handyman Music Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what town are in Massachusetts, or what is the name of your city?
Well, I live in Hanson, Massachusetts, and it's really not a city. It's just a town. It used to be an old hick town, but like everything else, it's grown up, and it's... almost going to be a city.
you say it used to be an old hick town. You mean like a little small town?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what's it bit close to?
It's 30 miles south of Boston.
Oh, okay.
Really? So you're there with the Car Talk guys almost, aren't you? Are you familiar with Car Talk?
Yeah. Yeah, they're up in Boston, yeah.
And so do you listen to that show, Car Talk?
Oh, yes, once in a while I do, yeah.
Well, it is one of my very – I tape it every week and try to listen to it. So I guess right now, is snow on the ground in your area? You have snow already?
Really? Well, actually, there was yesterday, but I think it rained out and the rain might have washed it all away.
Oh, okay. So you're back to just rain now, I guess, right? Do you mind us asking your age, sir?
I'm 60. Oh, let's see. 61.
See, I had to kind of figure it out. Well, you fit right in. I'm 62. Don is 60. Our youngest member here is Don Shaw. He's 50, and Tom is, good God, I don't know how old Tom is.
Somewhere in the middle, huh, Tom?
Somewhere in the middle.
57.
So we're all a bunch of old guys. So you kind of fit right in. I wish you were here. And you have no vision whatsoever.
Well, I just have light perception, but it really doesn't help me in my work at all.
Yeah. But you can walk in a room and you can tell whether the light is on or off, and that's about good as it gets, huh?
Right.
So what type of work are you in?
Pardon?
I say, what type of work do you do?
Well, basically, I do woodworking, and in years past, I had quite a business for 25 years or so of making picnic tables and outdoor furniture.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Very good.
Wow. See,
we could put you in touch with us.
We're on the same wavelength, because that's the main thing I build has been picnic tables.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, how did you develop your skill as a picnic table builder? I mean, where did you get the pattern for the first one you built?
Well, first of all, I'll go back and... say that my brother and I were more or less brought up around woodworking,
uh-huh.
and because my father was interested in woodworking, and he had all kinds of power equipment and hammers and tools and everything that my brother and I used to snitch and go build things someplace,
uh-huh.
and so. When we, I don't know how old I was, I guess probably in the 20s or so, that we happened to come across this fellow that was in my same town that was looking for somebody to build picnic tables for him so he could sell them, mm-hmm. because his source... they weren't making them anymore, the source that he had. And so he asked if we would make them. And so we, my father and I, took one of his picnic tables and we copied it and took measurements. And actually, I made patterns and drilled holes and everything. And then, you know, we had a set of patterns, and we started making them in production for this fellow up the street. And we'd make them in loads of 15, and we'd load 15 sets onto a car trailer and bring them up to him and deliver them. And he would scrutinize them very carefully and look them all over and complain about every little crack. And he'd finally say, "Well, okay, I'll pay you." And he didn't pay us much, but we did that for a couple of years. And then he retired, and I started selling them right from my house, which was, it was right on a corner, which was a pretty good place to sell them with plenty of traffic going on. And like I say, my father helped me get going, and he did a lot in the business, especially taking care of the books.
Now, your father had good vision.
Yes.
And how about your brother? Was he partially blind?
No, my brother was sighted, too.
So you were the only blind person involved in this thing?
Yeah.
And so you took the patterns of the original, and you made you some patterns, and then when you'd make 15 of them, like you'd make 30 cross pieces at once.
Yeah.
So you and drill the holes in those, and you'd make... In other words, you'd build them kind of in mass production. Were you able to make a living doing this? Could you support yourself doing this?
Not really. But as we went on, you know, as we were in business for 20 years or so, it got better and better all the time.
Uh-huh.
Was it just kind of a sideline then? Because, you know, I was thinking, like, Phil's talked about making, he's made picnic tables before. But, you know, 15 in a whack, it sounded like this guy had an outlet for them someplace.
Yeah, somebody was buying them if you made 15 at a time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he would sell quite a few because he was right on a corner, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I say, my father... my father enjoyed doing it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And really got a lot of...
So your father was not bashful about letting you use power tools. I mean, he was
no.
All right.
So you no, see. Not at all.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah.
Is it Frank?
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind me asking. Have you been blind all your life, or was it a degenerative thing? I mean, did you ever see?
I'd lost my sight when I was 10.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe, I mean, like, and so did your dad have the power? Was kind of interested in learning how you got started, you know. I'm partially sighted, and of course I went to this Texas School for the Blind there, where we had a woodworking shop that we attended, you know, like an hour. It was just like a class.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, with your dad, did he start with you while you had vision, or did this come later?
No, the woodworking was more or less right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll tell you a quick story that reminds me of something you say at the end of your program. When I lost my sight, I went into the hospital when I was 10, and I had a malignant brain tumor.
Oh my! Mm-hmm.
And when I was in there, all I could think of is one of the things that I was thinking of is how will I build things when I get out of the hospital?
And yeah.
I just couldn't wait until I get out of the hospital, and it didn't seem to faze me at all that I couldn't see. And so I finally got out and was home for a couple of weeks, and I said to my father, can you get my the go-kart that I was making? I was, before I lost my sight, I was making this go-kart for Cub Scouts or something, I think. And I said, can you get that and put it out in front of the cellar door so I can work on it during the day? And if you could put a hammer and a saw out there on the go-kart, and then go-karts in those days were ones that you pull.
Yeah, they didn't have motors back then. Yeah.
So my the next day, my mother says, well, if you really want to, you can go out there, but, I don't know. You got to be careful. So I went out there, and I found the go-kart, and I picked up my hammer and saw.
Yeah, that's good. So you picked up the blind man, he picked up his hammer and saw. Yeah.
Well, I think it is interesting that, the reason why I ask, in your case, you would have certainly had to learn how to modify. If you used a skill saw or saw one in action when you could see, and then you're coming back and you can't see, like in my case, I've told you I'm partially sighted, but I've always been partially sighted. So when I started messing with woodworking equipment, I didn't have to. I just had to adapt. For me, that's the situation that's always been constant. But yeah. So you could enlighten us some about, like, if you used, if you could drive a nail before you could see, or when you could see, and then after you couldn't.
How different would it be?
How different it would be,
That's true.
Of course, at age 10, it didn't have the impact on you that it might have had you been 20 or something.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Because you simply adapted and you said, well, this has happened to me, and this is something that I'm going to have to learn to live with. And so did you finish the go-kart?
I don't know whether I ever did anything on it, but it was...
But you did pick up your hammer and...
So. That's right. Yeah.
That's good. Uh-huh. That's good.
And so you built picnic tables. Now, did you, in addition to your picnic table building, you obviously had to do something to earn a living. What did you do for a gainful employment, if you don't mind us asking?
Well, I did have a few jobs out in different machine shops and places like that. That
really?
Didn't last that long, but I, little at a time, I got jobs to do at home, and a lot of times, even though I was building picnic tables, somebody might come along and say, well, I want you to build me a I remember building a doghouse for somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then also I was very interested in machine work. And I sort of went to school for that. And my father used to get me different jobs to do in the machine shop, working on machines like a metal cutting lathe or a milling machine.
Ugh.
And between that and the picnic tables and the odd jobs that came along, I was able to to take a regular paycheck from the business for a while.
Able to survive. Now, did you? You say that you say a machine. Did you have those, or you went to you used somebody else's? Like you'd go to a machine shop and work with their tools?
No, I had these tools at home.
Oh.
Because that was another hobby that I had. That you know, I started out with a little lathe, and then I really got interested in it. My father helped me out, and we got like a power hacksaw and a drill press, and I was able to do a few little odd jobs.
Frank, one of the emails we had today was talking about safety. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing, have you ever had a serious accident or come close, or you might talk about that a minute, working with these tools?
I have a couple of times nicked my fingers on different things, but I have all my fingers.
Very good. Yeah, that was not, that's where I was headed for, because yeah. Don Shaw and I have, I'm sure he's passed on now, we had an acquaintance, an elderly man, that we were ham radio buds together, and yeah. He started with 10 fingers, obviously, but when he left the world, he had 9 gone. So we were we were just wondering.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the worst accident that I had is when I was cutting firewood with a buck saw, and the saw jumped out of the saw groove and almost cut off my finger.
Man.
I had to have 5 stitches put in it.
Yeah, they're sharp when they...
yeah.
And that was the worst thing. But on machines, I really haven't had that much other than little nicks.
Okay, I'll be the dumb one. What's a buck saw?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you call it... well, say up north, we call it a buck saw.
Is it a two-handled saw, one?
No, it's just a one-handled saw, but it's sort of like a bow saw.
Okay.
We know about a bow saw.
I know what a bow saw is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps that was the name that I should
have. No, that's a good term. I know what one is.
See, we don't mind learning these new terms.
We're
Texans, and that's not our fault. We were, it just happened to us.
Yeah, but don't hold it against us.
And so we call them bosaws now.
Bosaw.
And you're the first one I've ever run across that was actually able to make a living doing that sort of thing. The rest of mine has been a hobby. I've sold a few picnic tables.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I had an offer to sell 6 and was just too busy to make them the other day. I could have sold a half a dozen. But the wood now, it costs to build the kind I build. The wood's about $50.
Yeah, I know. I think that's why I sort of went out of business, because the price of the lumber went up so high that nobody wanted to spend $200 for a picnic table.
That's right.
Yeah, the kind of in the quick fix packaged world we are in today, these companies are turning them out with pressed wood, and if they last 2 summers, who cares, because you can go buy another one. They're cheap. So,
that's right.
I have a little bench that I purchased, believe it or not, at Dollar General, and I paid $12 for it, and it'll seat 2 people, and it's really neat, but it's made out of pressed wood and little metal things. I'm sure it's someplace in China or Japan, and I had to put it together, and you couldn't build it for 3 times that much.
Right.
Well, the little picnic table I originally got my patterns from is $40-something at Walmart, and it's cheap, little cheap wood that I cut my patterns from, and like you said, you could use that for 2 summers. The kind I build are big. They weigh...
And they last forever.
Weigh 75 pounds, and they last forever, and they're hard to move around, so I've retired from the picnic table business. Frank, we are about out of time, but you've been a most interesting guest, and we thank you for helping me out of a bind. I didn't have anybody to fill in, and you've done an admirable job.
Very interesting being on the show. And did you Did you read through my tip that I sent?
His email, I think he's talking about.
You're talking about your guide for the saw?
Yeah.
You know, we never got around to that, did we?
Oh, no.
We got off on other stuff and never got around to that, which means that in a couple of months we'll have to have you back, won't we?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Frank, we've enjoyed it.
One thing, Frank, before you go, this is Tom Houston. Could you just say one little line for me? Park the car in the garage. Could you say that for me?
Park the car in Harvard Square.
There we go.
Frank. Way to go, Frank.
Bless your heart,
right.
Frank.
Appreciate it.
Listen, we'll catch you in a couple of months, and we'll talk about your saw guide, which is what I intended to talk about, and we never got around to it. We kind of ran out of time. Thanks, Frank, and we'll talk to you in a month or two.
Very good. Thank you.
Bye,
all right.
Bye now.
I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about after we come back from the break, but surely we'll come up with something. On Show 21. The Blind Handyman, back with more in just a minute.
ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio.
When they're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org. Then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Are you looking for a place you can talk about ACB Radio programming with friends and other listeners? Then you might want to join our ACB Radio Friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB Radio announce list. And you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Yeah, I just, I
love the way he says "shaw."
You think he's from Massachusetts, maybe?
He's from
probably Kilgore or someplace.
Or he's from. I think he lives in Iowa. Jack,
park the car in the garage.
Yeah,
park the
car. No, but he in Harvard.
That was good, wasn't it?
Harvard. Yeah,
that was
he fooled
good.
You. He gave you what you wanted, didn't he?
He knew.
He was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Hey, colleague, welcome back to Car Talk. I love
Car Talk. Yeah, that was
so
good.
They probably make fun of us anyway.
Oh, yeah. Make you know they
yeah,
probably
they probably
do.
Call us blind or something. I mean,
probably.
Anyway, I think Shaw actually had something to talk about, and we've
interrupted. Yeah.
I just had one thing. It's kind of an important thing, but it's a quick thing. It's just that we was just talking last week, and my granddaughter had come home from school and said that one of our teachers had a problem this week, and you know we've talked about washers a while back, washing machines and maintenance things, mm-hmm. you know, changing the filters, you know, in your dryer,
gotta do it,
checking the washer and having hot and cold water, and checking your hoses and things. But this teacher, her teacher had a problem. You know, she had to leave school early one day last week or something, and had told the class she had to go. Because she had this big problem, and what happened was, and you don't really think about this happening, but a lot of folks, including us, do have their washing machines in the house. Some are lucky enough to have them out in the garage, but a lot of folks do have them in the house or in their mobile home. And if you do happen to be one of those that have that situation, this could really be a problem. The hose on their washing machine going from the washer to the wall spigot broke.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
And she said when she got in from school the day before, they had like, you know, 4 or 5 inches of water like over their entire house.
Oh, boy.
On the floor. And, of course, their Christmas presents and all, you know, just their carpet, you know, just a lot of stuff laying on the floor, of course, was ruined. And some of the lower sheetrock and baseboard even, because the water, I guess, had sit in there all day. And that just, you know, I got to thinking, that's just something that you don't think of that happening a lot, but obviously it does happen every once in a while.
I had it happen to me once. I believe I was talking to you, Phil, on the telephone when I lived over on Betty Street.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the hot water side of the going into the washing machine just burst.
Yeah, really.
And I mean, I heard it, and I said, "Hang on just a minute, let me go see what's going on here." And I got up and I went in, and I had to. I mean, it was hot water too, and I had to turn it off behind the washer there.
Well, if you wouldn't have been at home, then you would have had the same deal.
Oh, it would have flooded the entire house.
And it would be unforgiving because it would not stop until you turned it off.
It wouldn't have
way of knowing that it had. So I guess the sensible thing to do would be for a guy to go to keep those faucets off until he decided to use.
Yeah, but
the
nobody
washer.
Does it. Nobody, nobody does that.
Well,
but it would be the sensible thing to do.
And the reason why is because it's so difficult to turn them off, and you know they put these little handles on them. If you had like a quick shut off, you know, where you just turned it a half a turn, like they use in like the chemical. You know, if you're dispensing chemicals, sometimes you have a real quick with just a.
Or on a swimming pool, outlet pipe is the same kind of deal.
Yeah,
you turn the big valve half a turn, and you're off.
And also around here, if you turn anything off, then the water sets and gets dirty, and it clogs up your little screen filter and everything. I mean, like I'm fixing to have to do the solenoid in my ice maker, and I've had to clean out the little screens going into my washer. And I just wonder what causes the hose to break.
I don't know. Maybe time just weakens
just
them or
deterioration
something.
Or the pressure.
Or
maybe the fluctuation in the city pressure.
Maybe.
We've had that in Lufkin.
Yeah, we've had that
right
problem here lately.
Now that we're 10 inches ahead on rain, we've got good water pressure. But there was a time a year or so ago when our water pressure was, I thought, very poor.
It did. It got low there.
But, I mean, I've seen it fluctuate. Like, you turn the valve on, the hydrant on, you know, especially they're doing a lot of work around Lufkin on our whole sewer system and water system in general. So, you know, that lady may have a legitimate... insurance company lookout.
I can tell you from experience that the city will not pay for things like that because we know somebody that more or less happened to, and they had new carpet. They live over on Live Oak. I don't want to mention their name, but they've got a.
They never paid for that?
They did not pay for that. The city did not. I don't want to get into that because I don't know.
But was it a washer deal, too?
No, actually, it was. They're down at the end of the sewer line, and the sewer backed up. They came home from
not
a trip,
good.
And there was 3 or 4 inches of sewer.
Not good.
In these folks' house. That's a memory we don't want to.
Man.
We don't want to. And the guy said, so of course, they called a plumber. And when he took the cap off the sewer clean out, he said, I want to say the S word, but I can't, went 3 feet, 4 feet in the air.
Wow.
You know, so there was a lot of pressure. So something,
man.
And the city wouldn't, I don't want to get
so you
that.
Don't want to be at the end of the old sewer.
Well,
line.
I mean, they
live on Live Oak.
They're on Live Oak. But the city's not. But you know, there are different qualities of. That's Frankie Brown. Shut up. There are different qualities of hose you can buy. You can buy a garden hose that's kind of thin and kind of nice, and or you can buy big old heavy thick. So don't scrimp on that thing. This hose is to your washer. Don't buy little cheap ones. Buy the best ones you can buy. Buy the thickest, nicest you can buy, because that can happen to you.
Just got to hope that new washer we bought had good hoses that went with it, huh?
So was there a solution there, Don?
No,
to the teachers? I mean, she's still fighting it, huh?
Still fighting with that, yeah.
Might be a good idea to replace those things every couple of years.
You know, it might be, and that's anyway, I don't know how old the washer was or how long it had been. You know, don't know any of the details except that one of the hoses had broken.
That would just be one thing that you take for granted. You plug it in, hook up the water hose, walk off and leave it.
Yeah, you don't think about that happening.
Like I'm just thinking around. My washer is 6 years old, and it's been in the same spot and the same hoses.
Of course, you're in the garage.
You're outside.
Definitely a plus.
Mine's outside, but Don's and Tom's are both in the house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, and if they're in the house, they're really neat.
And if you're gone to work or something, or on your your week's vacation, you could definitely have a problem.
And you don't have to go outside when you're washing clothes if you're in Don or Tom's house, but you do if you're in. But I guess a guy, if you go off on vacation, you ought to turn those suckers
definitely
off.
Definitely ought to turn them off if you go on vacation.
You replace yours, don't show?
Well, we just, in fact, got a new washer like 3 weeks ago. Had to, because our we were at home, but same kind of deal. We were washing, and it just noticed some water on the floor underneath the washer. And I got to looking around, and sure enough, the pump of the washer started leaking.
Yeah.
And called the repair folks, and they said, normally if it's leaking from underneath the washer like that and not through the hoses, which I checked, the hoses were fine, they were dry, it was definitely coming from underneath. Said it was probably the pump, and it was an older washing machine, and it was cost more than it'd be worth spending. So
I told you about my father-in-law went and, his was leaking. He went and bought a new washer, and he put the new one in. It's still leaking. The drain had stopped.
Yeah, the drain.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Well, I have to tell y'all this. About 2 years ago, I paid the name, Shaw? The appliance doctor.
Oh,
I had water, same thing, came out, and the guy said, I'll be right there. Oh, yeah, he diagnosed it, instant diagnosis. That's your water pump. He changed it $90-something bucks, and it leaked the next day, and it wasn't the water pump. It was my drain.
You got a good price because they wanted $150 to do ours, and it wasn't worth it for a 14-year-old.
Well, I guess when you don't really need one, $90, I guess he gave me his discount, his don't really need one discount.
My little brother was telling me about an item that he installs in homes that he works on up where he's from there in the Chattanooga area.
You're talking about Gordon?
Yeah.
It's a pressure type, a water pressure regulator. And
really?
He said that it will control the pressure. In fact, it will save your hot water heater in a lot of instances, because it only allows so much. I mean, especially if you're in an area where the water pressure will surge and get real strong all of a sudden. Then he said these things were a lifesaver in that respect up in that part of the country. I hadn't heard of one until he mentioned it to me.
Well, so that may be what happened to the poor lady's hose.
It could have been. Just a surge in the water pressure.
It could have been.
Oh, I think so. I mean, here, I'll guarantee you, they turn while they're working on the system around here, they turn the water on and off. And
you get air in the line.
I mean, I've had to replace the solenoid thing on my ice maker about three times. the little screen gets clogged up and you can't clean. You can't really clean them
you
out.
You can't. You can't
and,
clean it.
And it's simply because you go in and, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you get up, there's no water. Or the, but it's because they're working on the lines. And
well, they've replaced the mains from up toward your house clear down.
Yeah, I'm in good shape now. It hadn't happened in a while, but.
Yeah, they had those
yeah,
old
well, they were working on that. And, you know, I've heard in mobile homes sometimes that people have problems because, like in your home hot water heater, the pipes generally come in from the top of the hot water heater.
Yeah.
But I've heard on some hot water heaters in mobile homes that the pipes come in from the sides rather than the top. And the problem is that when you, if you lose your water pressure, or the water gets shut off, that the water can drain back out of the hot water heater into the water lines. And if your hot water heater, of course, is on, if the power is on to it and it's an electric one, it could burn up your top heating element.
That may be the reason he was talking to me about this particular regulator, because it, I mean, I live in a
would keep that
home,
from happening.
And it is an electric hot water
heater. Yeah, it would keep the water from draining back through, because if the water drains down and your hot water heater is on and your element is just will just sit there and cook, since it doesn't have any water around.
It would have no way of knowing.
That's right.
That's true. So,
that's probably
boy, are we like doomsday predictors of stuff that could happen to your house, guys?
The stuff that could happen.
You
huh?
need to be vigilant 24 hours a day to keep your...
Yeah, don't leave.
Don't, you know.
That's right. Don't leave home.
You can't go on a cruise.
Hire a house sitter.
Hire a house sitter. Don't leave the oven on or, you know.
And tell them where the water cutoff valve is.
Well, the president of our fan club is outside there.
Barking at the door. Well, Charlie's outside with her. I don't understand what she's...
Oh, no.
Frankie!
Did that do any good?
No.
No, but it was real professional. Listen.
The way you did
it. It
quit.
You mean she listened?
She actually listened.
Impossible.
To the voice of authority.
Impossible.
Right. Well, I'm out of stuff to talk about. What time is it? Is it?
We're about there. We're about theme time.
We've been about cut it up. We've about doomsday everybody out.
All these water problems, huh?
Let me just mention that we director, the creator and director of ACB Radio, Jonathan Mason, is going to take a month off, and so that means they'll be running archived shows. And they're going to be on their own server. Their ACB Radio is going to be on its own personal server, and when they get back, I think they're trying to finish that before Christmas. So things should get better with ACB Radio, but we do intend to continue. We have a couple of proposals that we're kind of kicking around. We're thinking about expanding. And we've done a lot of woodwork. We've done a lot of home projects, light switches and water and washers and all that kind of thing. I think we're going to probably do a little kind of a little light change in our handyman approach. But we'll talk more about that in a month. So we'll be gone. We'll be here, but they'll be running archived shows for a month. And I guess everybody's coming back, aren't you? Y'all won't abandon me, will you? Leave me.
I know. It's been great. Be just tell all the listeners to send us more email.
Need email.
Send us email during this month of...
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a bunch of email. Have about 20 emails to read.
It would. It sure would.
BlindHandyman@hotmail.com. That's how you get in touch with us.
Tell us how much you missed us.
Tell us if you didn't.
Right. Tell us if you're sorry we're coming back.
Tell us whatever you want to tell
us.
Don't want us back. And we do need guests. We always need guests. And we always need, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, leave us a phone number. We will not share it with anyone. That's our safe website. We'll not share your phone number with anybody.
And we will not sell your email.
Well, except the gutter salesman. Don't we give those leakless gutters?
I think we will. Anyway, thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We'll be back in a month. Don Patterson, thanks much, sir, for helping us.
Yeah, I love it. It's been great.
It has. Don Shaw?
Yeah, been a good one.
And our board engineer, Tom Houston.
Mr. Tom.
Let's hear for the board engineer.
All right. Thank you, guys, and we'll do this again in about a month. I'm Phil Parr reminding you, I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.